Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
So we've named our mothers and given a moment of honor to them and their memories. Each has a name, and thus each is identified by a proper noun. This morning I'm talking about a verb. Mother is a verb. Yes, it's also a noun, but I'm talking about mother as a verb. Because being a mother is a state of action and doing. Now, the simple definition of the verb to mother is 1A, to give birth to, 1B, to give rise to or produce, and 2, to care for or protect like a mother. All pretty straightforward there. And the synonyms of the verb mother are birth, deliver, drop, have, bear, produce, and there are a lot more, but that gives you the idea. And these synonyms are all for that first meaning, to give birth to or give rise to. Then for the second, to care for, like a mother, or protect like a mother, as was referenced in that Buddhist reading of caring. Well, let's unpack a little bit that second definition, to care for or protect like a mother. And I would suggest that there are four other verbs that serve as synonyms for this second definition. They are nurture, work, love, and receive love. So give love and receive love, nurture and work. Well, the nurture piece should be obvious, to nurture, because the mother begins by nurturing the baby in utero and then nurtures the child after birth in infancy by nursing and care and keeping the child safe and fed. And this continues as a child grows. And although challenging at all ages, meets new ages when the child becomes a teenager, new challenges when the child becomes a teenager. And also in some cases, the mother nurtures the spouse, the mother's own spouse, but sometimes the spouse of the child when the child is an adult. A mother never stops being a mother, and mother never stops nurturing. Mother's work. And by work now, I mean physical things, economically productive things, those aspects of work. And Americans seem to think that mothers traditionally have sat at home. And anyone who knows the social history of the United States knows that's mostly not true. Mothers have always been economic producers, even if the production was at home. That's most obvious in a farm where every member of the family works, but also true in a suburban house or a city apartment. The work moms do keep the family together. Even if they don't bring income in, they produce value to the family. And it can be as mundane as vacuuming and ironing, or as creative as whipping up magnificent feasts and keeping the household running. When my sister moved to Peru to get married, she moved into a culture where she no longer had the career as a banker that she'd had in the United States. But that didn't stop her from working. Her accepted role there was managing the household. And she did that and more. And then when her son was born, she did all the traditional things of mothering and being 40 when she was born with a vengeance. He graduated from college last week. But mothers nurture, and they nurture through their whole lives. And my mother never gave up nurturing and working. And she gave up working at one point. She said, I'm tired of working, because she was widowed young and had to go back to having a job. But then she reached a point where she didn't want to stand on that sales floor anymore or work in that classroom anymore, the two jobs she had after my father died, teacher's aide and salesperson. So we have this ideal in this country, which has hardly ever existed, that the mother is at home and the father is out supporting the family. But even in raw economic terms, the father could not be out supporting the family if the mother weren't at home keeping the house running. But then there are mothers who work for wages, teachers, nurses, sales clerks, and secretaries, typically when I was growing up. Typically female occupations that many moms had, like mine, and then left to start raising children. And growing up in that 1950s, when most of my friends had their mothers at home, except for Mrs. Rice, who was a school nurse, and some of the others who were teachers, I had my first lesson in feminism from my father on this. See, usually our school bus drivers were older men who managed to stay sober long enough to drive the bus. One didn't and backed it into a stone wall. This is in New England. He wasn't back the next day. And older women, Mrs. Flynn was the matriarch of school bus drivers in Danbury, Connecticut, when I was growing up. But one day a young woman driver appeared on our school bus and had her two children sitting in the front seat with behind her. And I went home and told my father about this and said something really stupid, like, that wasn't very ladylike of her to have that job and have her kids there. And my father said, a lady is someone who does what she needs to do for her children and takes care of them. First lesson in feminism. Well, the third verb is to love the child, to care for the child as much as for oneself. Make sacrifices if need be. Model love so the child can learn what it is. Now, that's a job for both parents and points to the notion that what we sometimes think of as mothering is something that all parents do. And even when it's hard loving the child, and sometimes it is, such as when you have the child who at the age of 3 insists on using the crayons on the wallpaper in the dining room instead of the coloring books. And that's relatively not too bad because you can clean the wallpaper. But you keep loving them. Or when they challenge you, when they don't live up to your expectations, they kind of go into rebellion. Now, there was a good example of continuing to love the child in a story about Elisha Wiesel, Elie Wiesel's son. It was in the paper this week. And Elisha Wiesel, who was in computers and finance, his father, of course, being a great scholar, but now that his father's died, he's had to sort of step into these roles with his mother of remembering his father, the Holocaust survivor and writer and scholar. And he talked about, in an interview, about how his parents, who were both very devout Jews, put up with his rebellions, including the day he came home with a green mohawk to their apartment on the Upper West Side. And he said, and then his father had learned how to toss a ball because he'd never had such sports as a child in order to play catch, and did it. That's all mothering in terms of loving. Putting up with the disappointments and the challenges and never stopping loving. And sometimes it is hard. And it continues as a grandparent. The mothers continue to love and to nurture the children, and today's economy sometimes help pay the bills for the biological mothers and the grandchildren. And many are raising children themselves when they thought that job was done in their lives. And they keep loving them. And my mother never gave up loving her children and grandchildren, even when sometimes she got confused as to which of the grandchildren she was talking to in the nursing home. She still loved them, even as she was grasping for the names. But the fourth thing, the fourth verb for mothering, is to receive love. You know, that is a big part of the job, is to receive your children's love. Later in life, if all is well, the mother mothers by receiving a lot of love back. Because that's what the children and the grandchildren need to do for mom. Or the son-in-law, or the daughter-in-law. And sadly, it doesn't always happen. For any number of reasons. Estrangement, disinterest, distance. And sometimes receiving love back means being cared for by adult children or grandchildren. And my mother received a lot of love back from all five of her children, son-in-law and daughters-in-law, and her older grandchildren, as her health declined and she was no longer able to grandmother through nurture or work, or even much activity. When she was 80, she was receiving more love than she was giving. And that's how it is, and that's how it should be. It is part of the cycle of life. But rarely does a mother stop mothering altogether. Even in my mother's years of physical and mental frailty, she mothered with her words. Until very late in her life, she still managed to send birthday cards, usually with little checks stuck in them, to children who were making much more than she had ever made in her lifetime. But then it got to the point where she could no longer manage to keep the date straight, and she'd sometimes be confused, as I said, when her children and grandchildren came to visit. But she expressed a great desire to be hugged even as she was confined to a wheelchair, and to give her hugs and kisses and receive her children's and grandchildren's back. But the question comes up, how do mothers get mothered? Now, in our society, the mother is not always supported very well through pregnancy, and sometimes it's a personal issue. But it's also a matter of how we parcel out health care in this country. And after the birth of the baby, however, grandparents, spouse, and family members will pitch in, but sometimes those resources are limited. The working mom rarely gets much time off from work, and more often than not, the time off is not paid, though to some extent it is increasingly. But just getting the right to time off without losing a job, even if unpaid, has been a struggle of recent decades. And even in a middle-class family, and certainly in most working-class families, mom has a job outside the home. And even when fathers do their best to share responsibilities equally, When the parents want to share them equally, mom still carries more of the additional workload of children than dad. There was a story in the New York Times a couple of years ago titled "A Hidden Gender Gap for Parents." And it wasn't about earnings, but those are real too. It was about the workload at home. After childbirth, on average, according to a study from Ohio State University, women added 21 hours of work a week. And men, on average, added 12 and a half hours. So they were both doing more after the birth of the child. But the mother was doing almost twice as much more. And about that same time, I saw an article by Tara Parker Pope titled "How to Mother a Mother." And she talked about how many societies have it built into their culture. How many societies offer a period of support from family and fellow villagers, these are largely rural societies, to new mothers. And she got this from a book by Claudia Kolker titled "The Immigrant Advantage," which describes how many cultures have formal ways of supporting new mothers. And she refers to one in Mexico, and I'm going to try to pronounce this correctly, cuarentena, a custom of pampering a new mother for 40 days. And family and fellow villagers and neighbors do this, and she says there are similar customs in other Latin American countries, Asia, and the Middle East. And the immigrant advantage that she describes is that this often continues into the first generation of immigrants in other countries, and describes how, even without the support of a village or family members, immigrants from Chiapas in Mexico took care of their wives in the U.S. for 40 days after childbirth. They did housework they had never before done in their high homelands or in the U.S., housework that they as men would never expected to do, as women, other women, took care of that part of it at home in Mexico. But they carried that with them here. Now, most of the U.S., new moms will get some family support, but not the ritualized support of a village for 40 days. And even if the fathers try, the mothers will soon be doing the bulk of the child care and housework. And as I said, mothers with paying jobs rarely get much paid leave following the birth of a child, and many who do cannot afford to take it if it's unpaid. Of working mothers make less than $15 an hour in this country. And $15 an hour has become the standard of an average living wage now. In less expensive parts of a country, a full-time earner making $15 an hour can support a small family. They can't around New York or New Jersey, but in some parts of the country they can. And 44.6% of working single mothers make less than $15 an hour. And those are the ones who don't have a spouse supporting the household along with them. So mothering, to be a mother, is challenging. But the verb mother is what mothers do, be they biological or adoptive. In same-sex male couples that adopt a child, I have observed one of the two men take on the mothering role quite explicitly. And I've also seen in some same-sex lesbian couples similar divisions, though not such drastic contrasts. And fathers who have been widowed at an early age take on the role of mothering. My father, whose first wife died 6 weeks after my brother was born, had to be, in the old cliche, mother and father both. And he had to do that kind of for two children because his sister, who had a severely disabled child of the same age, had been abandoned by her husband. So they actually shared raising each other's children for several years. Then my father married his second wife, my mother, who immediately became instant stepmom and began mothering the day after the marriage, the wedding, not when I was born, a year and a half later. And so she came to mother altogether, five children whose births were spread out over a span of 20 years. Well, so here I have laid out my understanding of mother as a verb, which is based on the biological basis of parenthood and the traditional mom and dad family. And I do this in spite of being born of a family that doesn't even itself quite fit the ideal type. But a lot of families do not fit the ideal type. In fact, today, most families don't fit the ideal type. There are serial marriages, there are blended families, and that's just amongst the heterosexuals. Families, however, come in all shapes and sizes. Same-sex couples raising children together. In some cases, the children are the biological children of one of the partners. In some cases, they are adopted. In some cases, there's a mix. I spent some time this week at a meeting that included a gay couple I know. And one of them had had a heterosexual marriage when he was young and had several biological children. But they, after they had gotten married as a same-sex couple, adopted children together. And so there are children and grandchildren in this rather non-conventional family by the American traditional model. But truth be told, today families come in all shapes and sizes. I have another friend who, having decided that she just wasn't going to find the right father to have kids, went to a sperm bank and now has twin 30-year-olds who are all doing well, thank you. And she's still never been married. All kinds of families. I know a single mom in Montclair who has never had biological children, but as a single mom adopted two children. There are all kinds of families, and we have them in this congregation. And we have all kinds of moms in this congregation. And we do know that both men and women nurture, work, love, and receive love back, and that men mother, but women typically do it more. Well, we no longer hold on tightly to that traditional stereotype. Even in the era of marriage equality, we have yet to escape them totally. And yet there is hope. And encouragement. A recent study from the Harvard Business School, of all places, shows that generally having working mothers does not disadvantage any child, but that it especially helps female children. That girls who grow up with a working mother are more likely to hold jobs themselves, but beyond that, than girls who did not have working mothers, but beyond that, among the women who are working, they are more likely to rise to supervisory roles and higher levels in the work world. So having a working mom is good for your daughter's career prospects. Well, cultural shifts do not change biological realities, and biology creates both bonds and divisions. And our religious task is to make neither more or less of these than they are. What we need to do as religious people is to nurture each other, to nurture our children, to nurture from birth through adulthood, through death, to work, to create the means that all children may be well cared for, to love children, to care for them, to love our fellow adults, and to receive love back. This is the work of mothering, but these are tasks not for mothers alone. So I will say, mother well, brothers and sisters, parents and non-parents, mother well the children that need to be mothered, and remember, as was a phrase from the video we showed last week from Aisha Hauser, my children, your children, there's no such thing as other people's children. We all must mother all children well. Blessed be. Amen.